Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is easy to forget the current federal election is not just about the party leaders. While the majority of attention focuses on them, local candidates should play an essential role when voting. At least that's the theory. Still, there are local issues. Qualifications, affordability, housing, and more is vital. So is asking questions about how local candidates will serve the residents of Northumberland Clark Riding. Here is the second candidate interview. It is with NDP candidate Ava Becker. The order of airing is determined by when the campaigns scheduled their interviews. The NDP was second. I'm so pleased to have with me Ava Becker, NDP candidate for Northumberland Clark. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ava, if you were at a party meeting people for the first time, what would you tell them about yourself?
I think I would tell them that first and foremost, I am a student and also a youth activist. I think that those are the things that define me the most. I would say my student experience has given me a good understanding of many issues in the community, as well as my activism efforts have given me a good insight into the various groups of people in the community and what different people care about. And it's given me the ability to talk to very varying groups of people about the things that they care about.
Do you have family?
I do, yeah. My parents live in Coburg. That's where I was born and raised. And I went to school in Coburg and Port Hope all my life. Now I attend Trent in Peterborough. And I don't have any siblings, but the rest of my extended family doesn't live in the area.
What year are you in Trent?
I am in third year. My program is Environment and Resource Science. I'm almost done my degree.
What made you decide to run?
Well, I actually was asked to run. I am the co-chair of the Peterborough Youth NDP Club. And my co-chair, Ben Hickey, was asked by the central party of NDP in searching for candidates for the election. And when he was asked who he thought might make a good candidate, he thought of me. So he asked me, he told me a bit about what running would mean, and I agreed to run.
Now tell us, when you're not doing politics and your activism, how do you relax?
I would say through art. I do a lot of visual art. I do a lot of painting and mixed media collage. That's a great way to just zone out from the rest of my busy life and put my efforts into something creative. I've recently been getting into like clothing design and editing used clothing and making it different, putting my art on clothing through screen printing.
What's your guilty pleasure?
I would say maybe cheesecake. I love cheesecake so much. I could eat an entire little cheesecake from the store in one sitting. Sometimes I just like to sit down and eat one of those.
All right, let's talk about some issues now. Tariffs and affordability are the top two issues on Canadians' minds during this election at this point. It is pretty easy to find out information and arguments about why the leaders of various parties are best suited to lead us during this time of crisis. What makes you, not your leader, qualified to be sent to Ottawa to deal with these issues?
Well, I think that with the tariffs, I think that I have a pretty ground level understanding of what it means for workers and the threats that the tariffs provide to various sectors, like particularly, like, for example, the automotive sector here in Canada, because we rely on the U.S. for a lot of that. I think that people are honestly scared, and that's why this issue matters a lot to them. And I think that I can bring that understanding to Ottawa if I were to be elected. In terms of solving the issue, I think it's quite complex, more complex than people understand, and maybe even I understand currently. I think that most of the leaders, including Jagmeet, understand that Canada has significant resource flow to the United States. And I think that given that, we do hold a position of relative control to the tariffs because we can fight back. But that's something that the leaders seem to agree on. I know that people think that Mark Carney is well posed to deal with this issue. And I would agree, but I don't think that he is unique in that ability. I think that there are many economic minds that are suited to deal with this tariff issue.
You said you have your own understanding of workers and their issues. Can you elaborate upon that? What did you mean by that? Explain it, please.
Yeah. Well, I would say that I'm new to politics, and I know a lot of working class people. I know a lot of students that are going to be entering the workforce or have just recently entered the workforce. I know that even pre-tariffs, having a stable job was already a difficult thing to acquire. And I think that, 25% tariff on all goods just makes those jobs even more unstable. I'm already being, I've been told my whole life that I should prepare myself to have, two or three jobs in my life at minimum. And I think that the instability of the economy makes people really uncomfortable, and rightfully so. And the tariffs just lend to that a lot. And it, with focusing on tariffs and having to worry about your job so much, and your income, and whether or not your goods will be, how heavily they'll be impacted by the tariffs, it means that you don't have time to focus on the other things. For example, even finding housing these days is so difficult. So it just draws a lot of energy, I think, away from people's lives, it seems to be. And I think that can only worsen if the tariffs continue.
So if you are elected locally, what do you think you can contribute within the House of Commons to help Northumberland Clark?
Well, I think that I can bring the kind of understanding of the riding to the House of Commons. I know that it's a very varied riding, honestly. We've got lots of farmers, we've got commercial areas, we've got small business owners. And since I've grown up there, I think I understand the varied wants of people and what they need. I know that, farmers need more support from the government, for example. And bringing that understanding is important in the House of Commons, because I think that oftentimes politicians can get separated from their local issues and what's important to the citizens who elected them. And I believe that I would keep those core values strong to my decision making. However, I also understand that just progressively more and more issues are being handed down from the federal government to the municipal government or even provincial government. So often, the federal MPs who are elected by their local citizens don't always have that small decision-making power that can directly affect their ridings, which is kind of a downside of federal politics, but we like to focus on the big issues. So I think that keeping my riding in mind with decision-making is something I would be able to do. And I hope that that would be the strength of me as a federal leader.
So why are you better qualified than the next candidate?
Well, I think that, some people might say that my age has a downside, I guess, for my strength. But I would actually say that it's maybe my strength, because while I have not already had my career and now I'm turning to politics, I'm kind of starting with politics. And I know that that might make some people uncomfortable because they think that I should be more well-seasoned and experienced with maybe the way that careers work, but I think that I understand a different side of issues. And I think that looking forward at my future gives me a different perspective than people looking back. For example, I don't own a house. I am currently rent a house. And that's like experience that I will have in the near future of, you know, buying a house, getting a career. I think that that gives me almost more pressure to like make those things work for other people. You know, I don't already have those things. Those are things that I want and will need. And therefore I can better understand people's issues rather than the other candidates who are already well into their careers. They already, you know, have houses, they have kids, they have a whole family. I don't have those things. And those are things that I will need to achieve much like other Canadians will. So that's what I would work to do.
The situation with the Americans is utter chaos. Now, there is a lot of guessing as politicians try to figure out what comes next. How does your experience match up for dealing with this challenge of never knowing what's next?
Well, I would say, honestly, my life is just a good example of that. I mean, I've never really known what's next, but I always have made sure to take things in stride and say yes to the opportunities that present themselves. For example, running in this, running as the candidate of Northumberland Clark, was not something that I necessarily expected to do, but it's something that I agreed to do once I was presented with the facts of what that would mean for running. And that's just like, you know, many of the summer jobs that I've had, many of the things I've done are just things that I've, not things necessarily that I ever planned to do, but things that I agreed to do and then made them successful scenarios for myself. And I obviously, my life is nothing like what the situation or the mess, one might call it, in the United States is. But I think that just dealing with uncertainty is something that I am well equipped to do. And I know how to turn situations that might not be ideal into situations that can work for people. So, yeah.
There's a lot of talk about what governing parties will do if elected to deal with affordability. Yet experience tells us grocery prices never go down. Your party says it will put in place an emergency price cap on basic food items. Economists will tell you that price controls don't work in a market economy. Why is this a good strategy in your mind, and why will it work?
I think that it's called an emergency price cap for a reason, right? It's not meant to be there forever. I think that it's the idea behind it is to for the government to subsidize that and let people get back on their feet a little bit. But ultimately, a grocery price cap is not the main issue that we're tackling here. We're tackling a like systemic economic issue that is led to, well, yeah, as you say, grocery prices never decrease, but they shouldn't be rising this quickly. That's not normal. And they're not rising with in proportion with people's wages and what minimum wage is. I think that that is a later issue, you know, that we would put in the emergency price cap on groceries, help people reduce their day-to-day living expenses, and then we come in with actual functional welfare programs as well as other social programming, affordable housing with like low-cost loans and grants. All of those things in conjunction with each other are what would actually help people. It's not just the grocery price cap.
I'd like to come back to the housing issue in just a moment. But the NDP have offered a working and middle class tax cut. Now, when you talk about working and middle class, what do you mean? What defines these two groups in terms of income?
I would say I don't have when I say working or middle class, I don't have a particular income in mind, but I would say the working and middle class are kind of similar, but I would say, honestly, the middle class is shrinking, and it has been for a long time, because middle class indicates that people have the resources and funds to, you know, afford day-to-day living without struggle, in my mind. That's how I define middle class. And the working class should be the middle class because, you know, someone with a full-time jobs should be able to support themselves and their family, but that's not the case anymore. So I would say that the distinction is becoming clearer between the two. For example, working class, you know, someone maybe who works in a factory. Factory wages are usually above minimum wage, but even, you know, $22 an hour, which is basically what a living wage is nowadays, that can't support an entire family. For example, a family of four. So I would say working class is people who have a job, but that does not mean that they are middle class, which to me means that you're able to afford to support your family without struggle.
Now, the NDP website says that it will save families with this tax cut $1,450 a year. Now, that's not even a month's rent in Northumberland. That's about $28 a week. How's that going to help anybody?
Well, I think that as with the emergency grocery price cut, it is just a start. You know, it has to be in conjunction with other things. And I hear what you're saying. $50 a week is just a little drop in the bucket. But I would hope that maybe that tax cut could be perhaps expanded upon, or maybe it's worth looking into more for the party, and maybe narrowing the group of people that it is able to help, so that then it's not just $50 a week. Maybe it's more meaningful amounts of money in terms of a tax cut.
Now, your party says, and I'm quoting here, the NDP will fight back against corporate greed, protect Canadian jobs, and make sure workers aren't left holding the bag while executives cash in. How does that work?
Well, I know you wanted to come back to talking about the housing crisis, for example. So I'll talk about that now, actually. So,
Before you do that, can you answer this question? Because you're saying you're fighting back against corporate greed to protect Canadian jobs.
Specifically answering that question then, I think it's having government, not necessarily control, but just government stopped to just protect workers from the upper position corporate company, because companies are constantly reporting having record-breaking sales from year to year, or record-breaking profits, actually, more specifically. And that is not a sustainable business model. I mean, that is part of, you know, what our capitalist system demands, but it's not sustainable when workers' wages are not rising in sync with that. I think that having actual laws that target corporate greed, having maybe some more taxes, I think that the corporate sector just needs to be, we can't let them run just free with the rules that they want to make in terms of their workers and the profits that they make, because the richest of the rich are the people at the top of the corporate ladder. It's not the people who are putting in, you know, 40 hours a week for the company. That's not to suggest, obviously, that not everyone puts in 40 hours a week of a full-time job, but it's just that there's not enough, there shouldn't be that much of a wealth gap between the top and the bottom of a company and the workers within it.
With the auto sector tariffs announced last week, your party says it will protect auto jobs in Canada. Can you explain how it's going to do that?
Protecting auto jobs, it's one of the sectors that's most affected by the tariffs. And I think that by protecting auto jobs means that we would be putting tariffs on United States materials coming into Canada. Obviously, that's a difficult issue to navigate. But for example, we have released a statement that we would put 100% tariffs on Teslas coming in, for example. But protecting auto workers' jobs isn't just about putting, you know, a tariff on Teslas. It would be more cars than just that, and also materials coming in. I think that we need to increase our east to west trading and really search for other trading partners to source things from places other than just the United States. And I know that's difficult, but that is how we could protect our auto workers' jobs, by just ensuring that there are jobs for them and that the United States tariffs don't take that away from them.
Agriculture is the largest industry in Northumberland County. What is your party going to do to support local farmers and the face of the pressures from the United States right now and China?
And China, yeah. Well, I think that the government can do a lot more to support farmers. I think that oftentimes farmers don't see that support from government. They're constantly trying to fight, you know, regulations and having to fill out more and more paperwork. And I think that making farmers' lives easier by reducing the amount of paperwork that they have to do and making sure that there's actually people within the government that truly understand their issues, because farm to farm, like, investigations by, like, the agricultural industry just doesn't do it justice. I think that there can be a lot more support, and I think that threats from the United States. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was getting another call there. Sorry, what was I? Oh, yeah. Both the United States and China are very real, but we also have the power to ensure that the United States can actually, like, that they feel the pressure, because we have a lot of resources the United States needs. And I think that through agreements with how we control those, we can leverage that to ensure that farming, like, agricultural products are still being made in this way into the United States. And if not, then I think that we really need to look at having actual, like, food processing happening here in Canada. And I know that's not an immediate thing that would happen, but it's something that is a big part of self-reliance as a country. I think we've relied on the United States for too long, and the NDP party is looking to make sure that Canada can stand on its own 2 feet.
Does your party support supply management?
In what way, exactly? Just, like,
as a principle.
I believe so. I can't comment with extreme certainty, but I believe so.
Late last year, there was a public meeting regarding a potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer. Farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland in Northumberland from development. What's your party's position to preserving agricultural land from development?
Definitely doing that. I'm not exactly sure the sale that you're talking about, but I know that there is a proposed development between Coburg and Port Hope with all of that extremely valuable farmland. And the NDP stance on that is that absolutely that must be protected. There is other lands that can be used for development. For example, Jagmeet has recently made a statement saying that we can use crown land for development rather than developing on farmland, which feeds our people, because that is entirely unnecessary and unacceptable.
Do you know how much crown land there is in Northumberland for this purpose?
That's actually a good question. I am not sure the exact amount, no. But I think that it's also not just crown land. Building higher density housing is also a important key to the housing crisis. Like, obviously, new housing has to be built, but it should not be spread out, sprawling suburbs that encroach on valuable farmland.
We've already alluded in our conversation to affordable housing. I'd like to come back to that now. When you drive around Northumberland County and you see all the development going on at various stages, the MLS has identified the market conditions for Northumberland being weak. What do you think listeners want to know about how the NDP's plan is going to offer low-interest, publicly-backed mortgages to help people buy houses? How's that going to work in Northumberland?
Well, I think it starts with finding land, obviously not farmland, if avoidable, farmland or maybe just private land. And then, yeah, the government will fund low-interest grants and also, well, not grants, but loans, and then also grants to help build affordable housing. And that involves working with the community and ensuring that developers are building at as low cost as possible, but not just low cost housing that is actually sustainable and also housing that can, like, stand up to the test of time. I think too often affordable housing is just built as quick as possible with the cheapest materials. But that's not housing that serves people. And the government can ensure that that's what is being built.
It sounds like you're telling developers what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. It's not really the role of government. Most developers, they make their own determinations and go about building what they feel they can sell.
Well, I do not believe so, because through regulations are something that developers have to abide to regardless. So the government putting in place some further regulations is nothing out of place. And in terms of it making things more expensive, I think that there are ways around that. I don't think that, you know, telling developers how to build things is any place of the government's exactly. But, you know, regulations are essentially telling people, you know, that there are things that they have to abide to when they build. And that is entirely acceptable.
You mentioned earlier that your party wants to help people financially. Mm-hmm. On your website, it says that it would offer a reduction of 0.5% on a typical mortgage, and that would save a family around $9,500 over 5 years. When a home, on average, in Northumberland costs over $800,000, how much is that really going to help, that $9,500 over 5 years?
Yeah, again, it's just a dent in the bucket. And the housing crisis is incredibly complex. You know, a low cost loan, or as you say, a $9,000 reduction in the mortgage isn't enough. But I think that is, you know, feasible as to what can be done while the government tackles just making the housing market get back in balance, so that, you know, developers, you know, they don't charge that much for homes just necessarily because they want to. It's because building things these days just costs so much. And I think that those are the broader issues that the government can tackle.
Homelessness is an ongoing issue in Northumberland County and a very divisive one. How would you address encampments or helping people living rough?
Well, I think that there should be more warming shelters and that kind of like intermediate area between, like, that basically provides housing for people temporarily while they get back on their feet. You know, we have a few transition shelters and such like that. But, you know, encampments are the result when a community is not being properly equipped to house their population. And I know that it's very divisive. You know, a lot of these people are not necessarily from the Northumberland, you know, Rida area originally, but that doesn't mean that they don't need help. And that should not rely on the community shoulders. That should rely on the government to support in providing, you know, warming shelters, just places where those people can go so that they do not, so they're not left with like the option, well, not even with the option, with the only decision that they make being left in a park in a tent. That's just not acceptable for our people.
Do you support safe injection sites?
I do. Yeah, I think that it's incredibly important. We've seen that when a safe injection site is removed, there's just deaths of people who could have been kept alive and given help. And safe injection sites are not something that is the sole solution to the massive drug crisis that we're having, but it's something that helps people stay alive while we actually work to get them the help that they need to recover.
I'd like to turn our focus now on seniors in Northumberland. Many of them live on Canadian Pension Plan and OAS payments and little else. What is your party going to do to help seniors?
Well, I think that the Canada Pension Plan is great, but it could be better. I think that we can like funnel more money into that pension plan to help people more, because as you say, like surviving on the pension plan, like it's possible, but it's really hard. There are a lot of seniors that are really struggling to survive, especially with rising, you know, grocery prices and such like that. And perhaps part of that is the Canada Pension Plan could be invested, like further into things, maybe so that that actually rises with inflation more, because my impression of it is that, you know, people have been investing, like, you know, their whole lives, like, into this pension plan, but it's not sufficient enough to actually, now their savings in this inflated economy is no longer enough.
Have you been out knocking on doors in the riding yet?
I have, actually. Yeah, I'm going to do some more later this week. But just generally, it is difficult to get out there physically when I have classes still and exams. But yeah, it's been great to see people. I was in Bewdley on Friday.
So besides the issues that we've spoken about today, then, can you give one other issue, just one, that you're hearing on the doorstep as you campaign?
Well, there was one woman who was talking to me about disability, like how the government supports disabled people. And, you know, she was talking to me about how it just seems like the government doesn't actually have the support in place to support a group of people that, you know, they have such varied needs. But, you know, we do have the disability fund, but as with seniors, like, those funds are not enough to support someone really living an actual, like, a good quality of life. And I think that I was saying to her, I think I agree, and that the disability fund should be beefed up, because it is unfair to expect, given that society does not lend itself to helping and supporting disabled people, I think that they deserve a fund that can actually help them live a good quality of life. Yeah.
If you look at the polls released recently, there is nothing to indicate your party will win or even become the opposition. And as of March 30th, the projected NDP in Northumberland Clark riding is at 6%. With those kinds of odds, what makes you want to run in this election?
Well, because I think that it is vital for the NDP party to exist and for that option for voters to be there. This election is agreeably tough for our party with the tariff issues and such like that. But I really want to see this party flourish again. We've had times of strength and we have had times of weakness, but the party has remained. And I think that the fact that Canada has a party that's grown out of the labor movement is key. It's not a privilege that other countries, well, not all other countries have. For example, our neighbors to the south, you know, they live in a two-party system, and that leads to people not being able to vote for the things that they want. And we don't even live in just a three-party system. We've got many parties depending on the riding. So I think that that option for voters to vote for more than just one or the other is what keeps us living in a, you know, fairly functional democracy. And I think that, as you say, yeah, the stats are not looking good for the NDP party, but I don't think that should let anyone should let that stop them from voting NDP, because at the end of the day, your vote is what represents what you want. And, you know, even if I don't get in, I still tried and I still hold all of those values. And, you know, I can run again. And, you know, I won't disappear from this community. I'll continue working in the activism and community building efforts that I already do. So, yeah, I think strategic voting is a struggle, though, for sure. And I would just urge people to not just vote for, you know, the status quo. You know, the Liberal government's had a long time in. And I don't know, personally, I think that the strategic voting mindset of not wanting to split the progressive vote between Liberals and NDPs, I understand that viewpoint, but I think that a lot of people do it, and therefore that's why we see such low polling for the NDP party.
If you could sit down at a kitchen table in a voter's home who was undecided at this point, what would you say to them in 30 seconds to convince them to give you their support on election day?
Well, I would say that if you see yourself as someone with progressive values, that you want to see the welfare of your fellow citizens and yourself, increased a more functional society, a government that actually supports their citizens and cares about, you know, the environment, for example, then vote NDP. And if you're scared, if you think that you should vote Liberal because that's the way that the polls are looking, maybe just think twice about that, because a lot of other people are doing the exact same thing. And while it may seem like one person's vote doesn't make the difference, it really does. It shows your support. It shows that you're not being frightened by, you know, the news and the media and everyone around you telling you to strategically vote. Vote with your heart. Vote with what you truly believe in. And hopefully one day those votes will be later represented actually in the House of Commons. I think it's incredibly important to vote with what you believe in rather than what people around you are telling you to vote for.
Ava Becker, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
That was NDP candidate Ava Becker. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.